Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Do the Hard Things First, by Scott Allen. Focuses on a familiar modern problem, knowing what matters, yet repeatedly delaying it. Positioned as a practical guide to overcoming procrastination, the book argues that progress and confidence come from deliberately choosing difficult, high-value work before distractions and easy wins take over the day. Allen frames procrastination not as a character flaw, but as a habit shaped by avoidance, fear of discomfort, and poor systems for planning and follow-through. The core promise is simple. If you build the routine of starting with the hardest task, you reduce decision fatigue, build momentum, and develop a stronger identity as a person who finishes what they start. The book blends mindset reframing with action-oriented tools, emphasizing discipline, clear priorities, and environmental design. Readers can expect guidance on identifying their most important work, breaking it into manageable steps, and creating daily structures that make hard work more automatic and less dependent on fleeting motivation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, procrastination as avoidance, not laziness. A central theme is that procrastination is often an emotional management strategy rather than a time management problem. People delay tasks that feel uncertain, uncomfortable, or identity-threatening, such as work that risks failure, criticism, or exposure. By reframing procrastination as avoidance, the book directs attention to the real drivers, fear, perfectionism, overwhelm, and the craving for immediate relief. This lens matters because it changes the solution. Instead of chasing motivation, the reader learns to reduce friction and face discomfort in small, planned doses. The book encourages awareness of personal triggers and the stories that justify delay, such as I work better under pressure or I need to feel ready first. It also highlights how quick dopamine alternatives like social media, emails, and busy work become coping mechanisms that protect the ego in the short term while costing progress long term. The practical takeaway is to treat hard tasks as training. The goal is not to feel good before starting, but to start despite mixed feelings and let action create clarity and confidence. Secondly, the Do the Hard Things First principle and daily priority. The book promotes a straightforward operating rule: begin the day with the most difficult, most valuable task before anything else competes for attention. This approach works because mornings or the first work block often contain the highest energy and the least accumulated distractions. By completing the priority task early, the reader earns a psychological win that reduces stress and prevents the day from being consumed by low-impact activity. The principle is not about doing the most urgent thing, but the most important thing, the task that moves a project, career, or personal goal forward. The book stresses clarity. If you cannot name the hard thing, you will default to the easy thing. It also warns about false productivity, where checking messages, organizing files, or attending unnecessary meetings feels productive but avoids real progress. Implementing the principle involves choosing a single main task, defining a clear finish line for that session, and protecting the first work block from interruptions. Over time, this builds a dependable habit loop that makes difficult work normal. Thirdly, breaking difficult work into executable systems. Another key topic is turning intimidating goals into small, concrete actions that are easy to start. Many people procrastinate because the task feels like a vague mountain, such as write a book, build a business, or get in shape. The book emphasizes converting outcomes into process. Identify the next physical action and define what success looks like for the next 30 to 90 minutes, not the entire project. This system-minded approach includes planning, batching, and using checklists or time blocks so the brain does not have to negotiate each step. The book also points toward reducing cognitive load by preparing the workspace, gathering resources ahead of time, and deciding in advance when and where the work will happen. By designing the process, the reader relies less on willpower. A practical application is to create a daily routine where the hard task is scheduled, broken into milestones, and followed by a brief review that updates the next step. This transforms difficult work from a heroic effort into a repeatable practice. Fourthly, discipline, identity, and the confidence flywheel. The book links consistent action to identity change. You become the kind of person who does hard things by repeatedly proving it to yourself. Instead of waiting for confidence, the reader is encouraged to build confidence through evidence, small completed reps that accumulate over weeks. This creates a flywheel. Disciplined action produces results. Results reinforce belief. Belief makes the next action easier. The focus is on commitment over mood, recognizing that motivation fluctuates while routines can remain stable. The book also challenges perfectionism by promoting completion and iteration rather than flawless performance. That shift reduces fear and speeds learning because feedback arrives only after you ship work. Alongside identity, the book highlights resilience and self-trust. Each time you keep a promise to yourself, you strengthen internal credibility. The result is a more durable work ethic that does not depend on external pressure or last-minute panic. For readers who feel stuck in cycles of delay and guilt, this perspective offers a constructive path. Start small, show up daily, and let consistency reshape how you see yourself. Lastly, managing distractions and creating a focus-friendly environment. Doing hard work first requires more than intention. It demands control over attention. The book addresses how modern distractions fragment focus and make challenging tasks feel even harder. It encourages readers to identify their biggest attention leaks, such as notifications, open tabs, reactive messaging, or unplanned requests from others. A practical strategy is to create boundaries for deep work sessions, silence the phone, block distracting sites, close communication tools, and set a defined start and stop time. The environment becomes an ally rather than an obstacle. The book also supports using simple rules like no email until the priority task is complete, or one window work during focus blocks. Another angle is energy management, sleep, movement, and breaks influence the ability to tolerate difficulty. When attention is protected, hard tasks become less exhausting because the mind is not constantly switching contexts. The broader lesson is that focus is a designed outcome. By preparing the space, planning the work, and limiting inputs, readers reduce the need for heroic willpower and make consistent execution far more likely. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who know what they should be doing but routinely postpone it. Students facing demanding assignments, professionals juggling important projects, creatives who struggle to ship, and anyone trying to build better habits around fitness, learning, or career advancement. It can benefit a reader's life by replacing guilt and last-minute stress with a repeatable method for starting and finishing meaningful work. The emphasis on doing the hardest, highest-value task first helps reduce mental clutter, strengthens self-trust, and creates momentum that improves the rest of the day. Compared to many productivity books that offer broad lists of tips, this one centers on a clear core principle and then supports it with practical behavioral strategies, reframing procrastination, breaking tasks into manageable actions, protecting attention, and building discipline through consistency. That focus makes it easier to apply immediately without building an overly complex system. If you want a direct, action-oriented guide that prioritizes execution over inspiration, this book is worth buying as a compact playbook for training yourself to do difficult work reliably. If you would like to support Scott Allen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.